Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you've bestowed upon us, and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at this church, for your kingdom, for this kingdom and the next one to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Am I on? Can you hear me? Okay. By a show of hands, I want to know how many people have ever heard this statement, don't question God. Anybody ever heard this? Don't question God? Okay. There are at least four reasons why I don't like this statement. And I don't mind elaborating for you. First of all, usually when someone's questioning God, they're hurting. And it's something that is truly hurtful to them. And it almost appears as if when someone says that, they're saying, this is what God had intended. This is what God had willed. Not everything is the will of God. Not everything is the will of God. Okay? When people are put in hurtful positions, when people are in pain, God doesn't want the Alzheimer's. God doesn't want the Parkinson's disease. God doesn't want the cancers. It's just simply part of the broken world in which we live. But it's not that God desires any of us to have that. So that's my first argument against that statement, is that not everything is the will of God. My second reason why I don't like this statement is, if our God can't answer a question, how big is our God? I mean, really, how big is our God? God knows all the answers and all the questions. How big is our God if God can't answer a question? Did anybody ever see a movie called Bruce Almighty? Yeah, if you can see that movie, watch that. It's a great movie. It's rated R, so don't let your children watch it. But Jim Carrey feels like God has not given him his due diligence, and so he starts questioning God's authority. And God comes and offers him his authority for a week. But it all began because Jim Carrey had these questions, and God helped him navigate through that. And I think God does that with us. When we ask those questions, why, Lord? Why is this happening? God helps us navigate through those very areas of our lives. Another reason why I don't like this is that if we have a question in our hearts or in our minds, God already knows it. You might as well say it. If you have "Why, Lord" written in your heart, if you have "Why, Lord" written in your minds, why not get it out? Because God already knows it. And my fourth rationale behind this is because Jesus asked questions. Okay? The very incarnation of God, the very person that we believe that was God incarnate in this world, Jesus asked questions. And today we begin a four-part series on questions that Jesus asked. Today's text is an unusual text because it really does break the norm of a miracle or of a healing in the gospel. Normally, Jesus sees the need for healing. He touches somebody. The person is healed. There is a feeling of appreciation, a gratefulness, of thankfulness. And sometimes they even praise God. That does not happen in the fifth chapter of John. We begin this text with these words. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a festival of the Jews. Now, this was not an uncommon occurrence during the Greco-Roman Empire. There was often festivals in the big temple in Jerusalem. We don't know what celebration it was, whether it was Passover, the festival of booths, or if Rosh Hashanah, or one of these, but we know that Jesus is there with a big group of people. Then we find out there was a great number of disabled people that used to, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, and one who had been there for over 38 years. Okay? My wife will tell you I am the worst sick patient in the world. I don't like to be sick. And if I'm sick for more than one day, it gets even worse. If I'm sick for a week, it's awful. Can you imagine having an impediment for 38 years? That's almost four decades. Here a man was who was paralyzed for 38 years. Truly, there must have been some healing that needed to take place there. And yet, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there for a condition, with this condition for a long time, he asked, "Do you want to be made well?" That's kind of a hurtful question, isn't it? Do you want to be made well? Do you want to move forward? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to be renewed? Do you want to get beyond this sickness? Do you want to get beyond this invalid state? Do you want to be made well? And as strange as this question is that Jesus asks, the response is undoubtedly even stranger. Imagine, if you would, you being sick for 38 years. What would your answer be? Yes. Yes, absolutely, Lord. Please heal me. Yes, yes, yes. And yet this man does not offer that response. What he says is, the man's response says, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone gets ahead of me." Now, in the Greco-Roman Empire, there were pools that every time the wind would blow, it would create an occurrence on top of the water, and there was this pervasive understanding that it was the spirits in the water that could heal you. And so this is what the man is talking about, is that he really wants to be healed, but he says, "But every time I do this, someone gets in front of me." And Jesus questions if this man wants to be transformed. And truly, there must be some reticence here, because this man responds, "I can't be healed." For the past 5 to 7 years, there's been a real change whenever someone calls the church and needs some financial assistance, or if someone needs something, and usually it's people that are beyond the church that need financial assistance. I remember I've been in the ministry 21 years. In my first couple of years, someone would call the church and say, "Do you all help out people? Because I'm about $50 short of rent this month, and I could really use some assistance." And that was it. Honest, straight to the point. These days, whenever I get a phone call and it's someone who needs assistance, it's usually something that goes like this. "I've been on disability for 5 years, and I'm a diabetic, and I take care of my grandchildren because my daughter, who's bipolar, can't take care of them. And Social Security didn't come in this week. It's 5 days late. Now, you know, if I don't get my medication, I could die, right?" And on and on and on. And usually I get to the point where I can say, "Ma'am, what is it that you need? How can I help you?" Because there is this idea that if I can tell you what a terrible state I'm in, what a painful state I'm in, then I don't know. Maybe I can get more. Maybe something can happen. But that's the way that it goes these days. They want me to know what a terrible state they're in. Do you want to be healed? Is the question that Jesus asks. The Christian Church Universal is in decline. I went through some of this last week. But it lends itself to asking, what can we be doing in this church? What can we be doing in other churches to have a healing effect on Christians everywhere? I once knew a woman that said, "I don't care if the church grows. I don't care if this church dies, as long as I can have my funeral here." And there are people who think that way. There is no healing in that statement, folks. There is only this idea of, it's all about me. What are some things that we can be doing to allow the church to heal? One of the most difficult things for me, a minister, and coming to a new setting is trying to get people to move forward and looking at ways in which the church can be fruitful and multiply, looking in ways in which we can become more effective in this community. And quite often, that involves change. You know that dirty five-letter word? It involves change. And sometimes pushing people forward can be a real challenge. But we know that we need to get younger. Amen? We know we need to attract a younger crowd. But we're often comfortable with the way things are, even as we face decline, even as we face an unknown future. If we want to be healed, we need a cultural shift that allows us to do things which attracts a younger crowd. In any given community, 80% of that community is unchurched. So the churches really compete over the 20%. What are we doing to talk to those people outside the four walls of the church? What are we doing to understand those people outside the four walls of the church? Because if we want to be healed, we'll figure out strategies in that area. How are we creating programs that appeal to a different crowd if the different crowd is beyond the four walls? Have we considered a vision for the church? Have we said to ourselves, where will the church be in 40 years or in 50 years? What do we want to look like in 40 years or 50 years? Have we even begun that process of saying the church may look this way in 40 or 50 years? Have we thought about a vision? Because if the church wants to heal, we will. And finally, I think each and every one of us need to get out of our comfort zones in order to be thriving and fruitful. In every church I've served, I've always made it a point to say, we need to know people beyond the four walls of the church. We need to get connected beyond the four walls of the church. And one of the ways that I've done this is to do a prayer walk in the community, to actually take invitations at Christmas and Easter time to people that we don't even know. What response do I usually get from people? I'm not comfortable with doing that, and I'm not going to do it. And we may be missing out on a golden opportunity of letting others know you're cared for, you're loved, you're invited to this worship service. If the church wants to be healed, we get out of our comfort zones. If the church wants to be healed. There may be someone in this congregation right now that is having a very difficult time. This is more personally and close to home. There may be someone here who is resisting healing on a personal level. You may have a son-in-law or a son or a daughter or a wife or a former wife that needs to hear you say, I'm sorry. You may know of a loved one that you need to make amends with. And quite often I find in this day and age, it's because I was right. You know? I don't need to apologize. I was right. Well, congratulations on being right. You have a broken relationship. There may be someone in here right now that needs healing, that has this reticence towards being healed, but that can be healed just by simply saying the right words, the right things. And you can move forward in life. Jesus' statement is as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. Do you want to be fruitful? Do you want to be thriving? Do you want to be an effective church? Do you want to move forward? Do you want to experience transformation? Do we want to experience renewal? Do we want to be healed? Will you and I say, yes, 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 Lord, we want to be healed, yes? Or will we end up making excuses in order to justify a pathetic state? Me. Lord, we ask that you would come into our lives and that you would heal us. And that you would not only heal us, but that you would heal the church. And that you would give us an audaciousness and a temerity to go out and have your name heard, to go out and do your will and your work and your ministry, to not be afraid, to get out of our comfort zones in order that not only this church, but that other churches may be healed as well. Let us be an example to others in the way that you are an example to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.